Welcome to Canada Conversations, part of Delaware Debates 2018, produced by Delaware Public Media in collaboration with the University of Delaware's Center for Political Communication. I'm Delaware Public Media News Director Tom Byrne. This conversation, taped at the Delaware Public Media Studios on the campus of Delaware State University, focuses on the race for Attorney General, and we are joined by Democrat Chris Johnson. Chris, thanks for joining us.
Good afternoon, Tom. Pleasure to be here.
We start with, why are you running for Attorney General?
I'm running for Attorney General because of Delaware's broken criminal justice system. Unfortunately, in Delaware, we have overcrowded prisons that are underfunded, as we've seen with the recent tragic events that have occurred at Vaughan Prison. And we also have unsafe neighborhoods. We have the city of Wilmington last year that went through record high violence. So it's just, everyone is ready for change. And so I heard from a lot of community activists who I have worked with over the years and organizers. And that's what pushed me at the beginning of the year to jump out and run for Attorney General.
What in your background do you feel separates you from the other candidates or perhaps makes you better suited for the job?
My life. My life's work has been committed towards criminal justice reform. These aren't just campaign talking points for me. Throughout my legal career, I've been in countless church basements, community centers, and living rooms working with community activists and organizers trying to change the system. And that's what makes me different, because my Attorney General's office, every single policy, practice, and procedure that comes out will be focused on ending mass incarceration and building our communities and making them whole again.
Legislation to rewrite the state's criminal code, revise, consolidate, streamline it, stalled in the General Assembly this year, in part because of opposition from the current Attorney General, Matt Dehn. Where do you stand on this effort, which has been in the works now for a few years?
I'm in support of Chief Justice Strine's efforts. In fact, in my role as legal counsel to the governor, Carney, I, in fact, sat on the commission as a representative of the governor's office. So for me, I have a firsthand knowledge of the great work that was put in and the great detail that was put in. And this wasn't just a knee-jerk reaction. This has been in a process for years, as you said, Tom. And so I really am a fan of the code. It's not perfect. No piece of legislation is. But I believe it's 90% of the way there. And there are some small tweaks needed to classification of crimes. For example, there was modifications to how to classify strangulation. Those things can be fixed next year. I believe that those things are fixed. It is ready to go across the finish line and be passed early next General Assembly session.
As you've mentioned, one of the issues we've heard a great deal about in this race is mass incarceration and seeking ways to lower the state's prison population. A number of ideas have been suggested by multiple candidates. Are there one or two primary ways you feel the issue should be addressed?
I believe the primary way is simply we have to stop having people who are poor in jail, and that's through ending cash bail as a default mechanism for bail. So we need to, we can make quick reduction in prison population by simply working on the cash bail issue, because there's a lot of inmates, hundreds of inmates who haven't even been convicted yet, but yet they are sitting in prison. Unfortunately, wasting taxpayers' dollars. So that's going to be an instant way we can reduce our prison population. And the second focus really has to be on the culture of prosecution and charging. That's where it begins, because prosecutors right now are charging a lot of nonviolent, low-level cases, marijuana cases, and it's just clogging our system. So under my Attorney General's office, day one, there will be a memorandum telling prosecutors what cases to charge and not to charge. Because right now, no one should be charged for marijuana cases, but yet it still happens. So those are two fast ways right out the bat we can reduce the prison population.
One of the other issues that has come up a fair amount, it kind of piggybacks on mass incarceration, that is racial inequalities in the criminal justice system and ways to address that. Where does addressing that issue start for you? What would be your initial focal point?
The initial focal point, honestly, it is not training, because you know you'll hear a lot about training and implicit bias training, but actually the latest evidence-based studies show that implicit bias training only has a minimal effect. So I wouldn't go to training. The first thing I would work on is inclusion and diversity within the office. Simply put, if we have a office that represents all of Delaware, then I believe we have a better chance to succeed in terms of having personnel that just are more in touch with the communities that they serve. Because right now, the Department of Justice does not look like the state of Delaware. Because Delaware is a very diverse state. You know, it's over 25% of its residents are people of color. But yet the Attorney General's office, you can count on one hand how many prosecutors of color there are. So that's the first thing, is to work on diversity and inclusion within our office. And at that point, you know, we can work on the other issues in terms of interaction with the community. But interaction with the community will, right off the bat, will increase when you have a diverse staff.
Also want to touch on the question of how the state handles possible police misconduct, officer-involved shootings, use of force, other situations like that. The Office of Civil Rights and Public Trust was created in 2015, in part to handle these type of issues and others. Has that office been effective? And if not, how could it be improved?
I do not feel like that office has been effective. And I'm just going by the sheer numbers. There's been no found cases of police misconduct and no cases of innocence found for prisoners who are currently serving. So in terms of its role and its purpose, there's nothing that has outwardly been done. I'm not saying they're not working hard, but right now it's just greatly understaffed and under-resourced. So I look to realign and beef up the Office of Civil Rights and Public Trust, because to have a unit in name but then not be effective in the community when there's a incident, that's, I feel like, almost as bad as not having a unit. So we really need to beef up the unit, make sure that the prosecutors in the unit are in touch with the community. And then lastly, work and say, well, how can we refine it so that people know about it? Because right now, as I've been in the community for years, and even on a campaign trail, there's not much knowledge about the office and what it can do. So we actually have to advocate in a community and engage the community so they know, hey, this office is here to serve you. So that's the way I would revamp it and retool it, and I think it can be a very effective unit under my leadership.
What do you see as the Attorney General's role in battling the opioid crisis?
The Attorney General has a lead role working with Department of Health and Social Services, I believe, in terms of protecting Delawareans. Right now, we had record opioid overdose deaths. So I believe the Attorney General has a duty to make our neighborhood safer. So it is working with the executive agencies to making sure services are put into place for those who are suffering. And if you've heard me talk or you know anything about me, I am a real straightforward person. I'm going to say, look, what we're doing is not working because we don't have enough treatment. And it all goes back to that. It goes back to dollars and cents, Tom. Right now, if you need intermediate or long-term treatment options, you know, over 30 days in Delaware, it's severely limited. Actually, very scarce resource, about maybe 200 or so odd treatment beds in the whole state. And it's even worse as you go downstate. There's less treatment beds that are close. So we really have a severe crisis on our hands. And it goes back to treatment. And that's why I say my plan to end mass incarceration will directly affect the opioid crisis. Because my plan to reduce the prison population by 5 to 10% each year is going to save millions and millions, tens of millions of dollars that can then be invested back into treatment. Right now, 16% of the state budget is spent on Department of Corrections, about $300 million. So I just, you know, the numbers in your head start working. We're going to save a significant amount of money by reducing our prison population. So that's how I plan to approach the opioid crisis from a fiscal standpoint. And from a procedural standpoint, I want to be advocating, similar to the current administration, we need alternative high schools in place in our community dealing with the crisis. But we also need resources in a community, such as Narcan training and training DARE programs, bringing those back. training the community on how they can save lives. Because at the end of the day, it's about saving lives. And so educating community is another priority. And lastly, working on the social determinants that are leading to the crisis. Until we deal with the intense poverty and intense failing education system, lack of affordable housing, then the opioid crisis is going to continue. So, I know it's not my purview as an attorney general directly, but I'm going to be speaking out on those social justice issues of inequality that's leading to the crisis.
There was talk in the General Assembly about reviving the state's death penalty after the Delaware Supreme Court struck it down, the previous version of it in 2016. It had the support of lawmakers with law enforcement backgrounds. Even Governor Carney suggested he'd be open to a very narrow death penalty only for those convicted of killing a member of law enforcement. Would you support bringing back the death penalty in any form in Delaware?
No, I do not support bringing back the death penalty under any circumstance. And I just look at it from a logical point of view. It is both very costly to taxpayers, millions of dollars and endless years of litigation due to death penalty cases. No evidence-based study has shown it's a effective deterrent to crime. And then thirdly, it disproportionately impacts low-income and minority communities. And so for those reasons, I mean, not even going to my background that I've been opposed to it my whole life growing up in the church, I just cannot think about it, because right now we just need to work on building safer neighborhoods. And so if the General Assembly was to impose the death penalty, this is where I stand out from any of my opponents. Even if the General Assembly brings it back, I will not seek the death penalty. It's the prosecutor's discretion, and I will use that discretion fully. And we've seen in other states, Florida is an example, where Governor Rick Scott took a case away from the Osceola County prosecutor. And he actually took the case away and said, you're not going to pursue the death penalty, I'm going to take it away. Well, the governor of Delaware will have to do the same with me, because I will not enforce it.
And finally, is there another issue you feel is not getting the attention it deserves and you feel strongly about addressing if you were elected?
Gun violence in our communities, especially our urban communities. This is something that is very near and dear to me, because I'm the only candidate, the attorney general candidate, that lives in the city of Wilmington. So right in my back door, there's rampant violence, especially dealing with firearms. And so through the years, it has never been addressed. We talk about community policing, but there's been nothing at the state level that has really driven the conversation to clean up our cities. And not just the city of Wilmington, but Dover. We have Magnolia, we have Georgetown. There's gun violence there as well. And we need to have direct state investment in resourcing those communities. And I believe the path to success is prevention and intervention programming, namely gang intervention programming. So I know from personal experience as attorney with the city of Wilmington for years, we had a program called Cure Violence, where we worked. They take ex-gang offenders and they give them training and paid jobs, and they work in the community in which they're from, and they work to intervene when there's violent incidents. It's been very successful nationally. Cities like Chicago, Baltimore, Boston, they've implemented these programs and had a lot of success in the neighborhoods in which they were. Now, Delaware, for instance, we had the program, but it was completely city-funded, no state investment. And it wasn't nearly enough to meet the demand. And unfortunately, the program folded after a few years. So I'd like to bring back programs like Cure Violence and other type programs that serves two purposes. And number one, gives employment to folks who are coming back into our society. And number two, it's been shown nationally to be an effective program. Those programs need direct state investment. As Attorney General, I will advocate for that direct state investment for programs that work. Because at the end of the day, you cannot arrest your way out of gun violence. You just can't. You can't legislate your way out of it. You can't arrest your way out of it. The only way you can work on it is by intervening in the community, but also improving these social issues and the social ills that affect crime. Again, we go back to the intense poverty, lack of education, lack of health care, lack of housing. All those determinants go into the, you know, feed into the criminal activity. So in sum, that's something that we unfortunately have not talked much about on the campaign trail. Mm-hmm. I wish I could talk about it more. So thank you, Tom, for talking about that. But this is my expertise because I, years ago when I was in the city of Wilmington, we worked on legislation dealing with public safety. I have relationships with the Gabby Gifford Center, and I've worked with their attorneys for years. And so I'm going to bring those kind of that kind of expertise to Wilmington and really work to address the everyday gun violence that plagues our communities.